escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Welcome back to the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thundernellis, that does not include Mason Crosby or Mitch Thundernellis, is coming up from 9 to 11 today. We've got Tommy and Sparky taking over the Mason Crosby Show today, so don't miss that from 9 to 11. Right now, though, joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is the one and only Wendell Fajeda, which, by the way, is somebody from Sabisky, Wisconsin. I am not trained to pronounce that last name correctly, so my apologies in advance, Wendell. You can find him on social media at WendellFP. He is, of course, covering the Packers over on A to Z Sports, as good as anyone in the business does it. Wendell, it's great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great, and your Portuguese pronunciation is much better than my English one, so we're all good.
I'm not sure about that. I think the lie detector is going off aggressively, but I'll take the kind words nonetheless. Wendell, again, appreciate you being here. We've got a lot to get into. I just kind of went through my 53-man roster prediction for this team. I know you've kind of gone through this exercise as well. What to you are some of the ones that, as you get to the final 53 and maybe some of those last spots, that you are just struggling with? As I talked about, there's a lot of injuries that are clouding some things right now, but just from a pure talent player perspective and just kind of some of the roster logistics of everything, what are some of those spots that really stand out to you?
Yeah, there are so many things to consider because there are special teams. Gutekunst has always been super smart to also avoid players getting booked from fraud or teams in terms of waiver claims. So those things we have to take into consideration. But I think my positions of attention here are probably wide receiver six. I think I'm curious to see if they'll keep Mecole Hardman or Malik Heath, or maybe they'll just keep five. I think I have a serious question if they'll keep five of ball linebackers, because Isaiah Simmons is a guy that have been massively struggled on defense. He has a special teams value, but that's limited too. And I think Christian Welch is an example of a guy that I think Welch is better than Simmons, but at the same time, I think the Packers would be able to keep him on the practice squad if they want to. So that has to be in consideration too. And I think that my main concern for the Packers is cornerback depth. And I think that the fight there is pretty intriguing between Bo Melton. I think Bo Melton will make the roster, but we have other guys like Michael Robinson, Kalen King, Kamal Head, and Corey Valentine. All those guys are fighting for spots. And I think this final joint practice with the Seahawks and the preseason game will be super important to determine those roles.
I think so too. And you bring up a great point here. And actually, Michael on YouTube asked the question, do you think there's a strategy in order of cuts to get players through waivers? And I do think it is worth talking about that there is very much a strategy. Like, that initial cutdown is not always just about how do we keep the best 53-man players. The strategy involved is how do we keep our best 70 players, including the international pathway player, and make it so that players do not get claimed. You might have a situation where one player is actually better than the other, but you know that they're not going to get claimed, or you have a very good feel that they're not going to get claimed and that you can get them back on the practice squad. But the other player, maybe a younger player, more talented player, even though maybe not ready yet, is more likely to get claimed. So maybe you keep them on the 53, even though they aren't better than the other player. So there are absolutely some of those decisions that go into place where you're just trying to keep everyone and sort of play the game of how do we not get our players poached by other teams?
Yeah, we've had recent examples of the Packers doing that. For example, I think 2 years ago, the Packers cut Patrick Taylor, the running back, and he was being elevated from the practice squad every game because he wasn't going to get claimed. but at the same time, he was readier to play. So he was on the practice squad, but at the same time, being elevated every week. So I think those are the considerations. Generally, I think because of that, that's why the Packers will keep a guy like, for example, Nazir Stackhouse on the 53, because I would think that he would have a good chance of being claimed elsewhere. And he's a pretty good developmental player. He offers something the Packers basically don't have elsewhere on the roster, that the run-stopping ability, since TJ Slayton left out in free agency. So I think that's the type of player that you have to keep to protect. And I think Brian Gutekunst has done a really good job with that.
My favorite example is during COVID time when they released Chris Barnes, and nobody knew. Like, Chris Barnes was a undrafted free agent linebacker. It was during the COVID season, so nobody was allowed in the building. Nobody from the beat, I don't think, there probably wasn't a tweet. If there was, maybe I had one of like Chris Barnes made a play once or something. I don't think anyone said anything about Chris Barnes through the entirety of training camp. And then at cutdown time, they release Chris Barnes. They waive him, subject him to any other team. They bring him back during the course of the week. And he was their starting linebacker week one that year. Like, he started the very first game. They literally risked cutting their starting linebacker because they thought that there was no way he was going to get claimed. And they were right. That's a bold gambit to play. But Brian Gutekunst is willing to play those if he thinks he can get away with it. In that case, he did. And he could easily do some of those things again this year. We're being joined by Wendell Fajeda. You can find him on social media at WendellFP. And of course, on A to Z Sports as well. Besides those 53-man, kind of projections and cutdowns, there's also going to be some other very big decisions. Backup quarter, I should say number three quarterback, as well as left tackle are two of those. Let's start with left tackle. You've got Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan. How do you see this playing out as we get closer and closer to Detroit in week one?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we have to see is, will Aaron Banks be healthy for week one? Because if he's not, then I think Morgan will have to slide to left guard. And Walker would have to play left tackle. Ideally for the Packers, because Walker is entering the final year of his deal, I think they prefer Morgan to be the starter in a perfect world. But I think they understand that Walker is probably more ready to play right now because of his experience. Gutekunst said that before training camp, that Morgan would have to be better, effectively better, to take over. So I think that's the consideration there. The thing for Walker, that it's so hard. I was writing a piece the other day about that, about his market. I was talking to Joshua Kippo, who's a cap expert, and he's projecting Walker's contract to be something around at least $14 million a year, maybe $16, maybe $18 million a year. And that's a lot of money for a left tackle, especially if you invested so much like the Packers did in the offensive line with guys like Morgan and Belton. So I think ideally, the Packers would already have the answer at tackle, at left tackle with Morgan, and then see the right guard position with Sean Ryan later, if Belton will be able to slide in there or not. But I think in the ideal world, it's better for the Packers, short and long term, if Jordan Morgan can play and can be ready and can start. Because if you can have that answer right now, it's better for the Packers. And I think, based on what we've seen from Morgan this preseason, he's pretty much capable of that. I think he has great movement skills. His technique is super refined. I think more than Walker, even though Walker is probably a little more powerful than Morgan. So I think for the future of the Packers, I would like for the Packers to start Jordan Morgan this year already.
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance that happens. I do wonder if they maybe go a platoon or a rotation at that position as well, just to keep Rashid fresh. And also, like, you're kind of doing Rashid dirty a little bit. Like, you just mentioned that contract that he's going to be eligible for. If he doesn't play, it's going to be really difficult for him to kind of get that on the open market. And I don't think he's going to be too happy about that. I don't think you want to get rid of him and trade him away because you have no depth if you do anything like that. So, I do wonder if they maybe have some sort of rotation there where both guys get to play. Now, maybe by week four, if Morgan is just grossly outperforming Rashid Walker, or vice versa, maybe you scale that down and it's just whoever is the better one. But I do wonder, and we've seen it before, obviously, with Rashid Walker and Yash Nyman doing that rotation at left tackle previously. That'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. The other one I mentioned, that number three quarterback, this probably doesn't affect the 53-man roster in any way. I think we're all expecting it's just going to be Jordan Love and Malik Willis at quarterback. But if you had to keep only one on the practice squad, how are you kind of attacking that third quarterback position?
Yeah, this is an interesting discussion because last year the Packers had a similar discussion with Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, but the circumstances were different because Malik Willis was just coming in. The Packers possibly needed someone to play right away if Willis wouldn't be ready. So they kept Clifford over Pratt because they expected Clifford to be ready to play at that point. I think this year it'll be a little bit different because they know Malik Willis is the backup quarterback. If they need him to play, it's okay. So I think they will keep Elgersma because he has a higher ceiling. He's more of a developmental player. We can see he's still adapting to American football, coming from a Canadian background. But I think at the same time, it's important for the Packers to think about next year because Malik Willis is in the final year of his deal. So I think the Packers will keep Elgersma and try to develop him. And if he doesn't, then you'll have to anyway find a backup option next year. But LaFleur said that last week, the objective, the goal for quarterback three is to develop him into someone that maybe can eventually play. Not saying that Clifford can't, but I think we have more evidence so far that Elgersma, because of his arm talent, because of his frame physically, I think he has a higher ceiling. So I think the Packers must keep him on the practice squad. It's unrealistic to keep both. And I think if they need eventually Clifford to be back, I think he'll be available at the same time. So I think it's safer to keep the Canadian guy and see how he develops.
I think if you are in year three as a drafted quarterback and you're not easily beating out a Canadian quarterback who has never played this style of football before, you have your answer on that third quarterback. Like if you're in year three and it just, you haven't seen signs of it, and this isn't just a very clear and obvious, oh yeah, it's just Sean Clifford, then you go with the younger guy who has the upside and you sort of start that cycle over and you give Elgersma a year or two to see if he can develop, because I think you already know what Sean Clifford is and what he is. And Elgersma, there's still enough of a question mark of like, oh, could you mold him into something with the arm and the talent that he has? So, and at that point, if you get to the third quarterback, you're signing somebody at that point anyway before you're starting either of those two in an ideal situation. And if you do need to start either, it's not going to go great either way. So you might as well just take the guy with more upside and just develop him.
And the Packers, when they drafted Clifford 2 years ago in the fifth round, their project was to have something like trying to replicate what the 49ers did with Brock Purdy. Let's draft an older prospect who's ready to play right now if needed, because they needed a backup. They didn't have money to invest in a backup quarterback, so they took Clifford. Probably they reached in the draft to get him. So he's an older prospect coming into year three, so they kind of know who they are, and it's his ceiling. The project of Clifford was that he was coming ready to the NFL, so he is what he is at this point. And I think if the Packers are moving forward, they need someone with probably a higher ceiling and a bigger room for development. I think Elgersma is that guy.
I could easily see a situation where maybe the third quarterback is not on this roster too. And if they like somebody in cut down time or waivers, that maybe they take a chance, not signing off of waivers, but just taking them and maybe signing them to a practice squad off of another team as well. But we'll have to see obviously how that plays out. You had an interesting topic that I saw you kind of pose out there. Could the Packers trade a wide receiver to the Minnesota Vikings? So you usually do not see teams with it. It's coming actually a little bit more common where you'll see players traded within the division. TJ Hockenson, a great example of that, going from Detroit to Minnesota. So it's not totally taboo like it once was, but walk me through this idea that Green Bay could maybe trade a wide receiver to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, the Packers will probably keep six wide receivers on the 53-man roster. And I've heard something on social media that maybe the Chiefs would be interested in Mecole Hardman, because obviously he has a great connection there. But at the same time, the Vikings are looking for a wide receiver. And I think for the Packers, it would be better to keep at this point Malik Heath over Mecole Hardman. Because he's just a better wide receiver. He doesn't offer as much on special teams, but I think the Packers have enough special teamers on their roster, so the Rich Bisaccia quota is already completed. So I proposed for our Vikings beat writer at AZ Sports, Tyler Fornes, a trade for something like Mecole Hardman for a seventh rounder or something like that, because I think he would offer the Vikings some slot play, some special teams ability. They need depth, especially while Jordan Addison is suspended. And for the Packers, it would be a free pick. I know intra-divisional trades are hard, as you mentioned, but at the same time, Kwesi and Gutekunst have already made some trades. They made the Christian Watson trade. The Packers traded up with the Vikings to get Christian Watson. And Kwesi is a pretty smart guy, and he doesn't care about the old stuff much. So I think they would be fine doing trades together. And it would be good for the Packers. It's a guy they would probably cut anyway. So getting some draft capital back is smart. And the NFL has been super active over the past few days with trades. Gutekunst likes to do these trades ahead of cut down day. So I think that one's, I don't know if Mecole Hardman is exactly the guy, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers are able to pull something off in that regard.
They have done this in a pretty significant way of being able to trade players that I didn't think they were going to have any trade value for.
Cole Van Lannen,
yeah. Trevor Davis, Kadar Hallman, Jordan McCray, Reggie Gilbert. All five of those players, Goody was able to take as what probably would have been cut down players that they were going to release anyway, and turn those into draft picks. And not even just conditional seventh round picks. Like in, I think the case of Trevor Davis was like a sixth round pick. So they have been able to turn a lot of these players into draft picks. If Goody can do a little bit of that magic again and pick up a couple extra picks by trading a couple of these guys, I don't care if it's Minnesota. You know, that is not a huge thing to me.
Sorry, Andy. It's curious because the idea that Brian Gutekunst, I think the best part about his strategy in terms of draft is the ability to accumulate picks. And the Packers have had years with 4 7th rounders, and they've got some real players in the seventh round: Rashid Walker, Carrington Valentine. So it's important to have as many shots as possible in the draft because you can find these guys. And I know it's hard sometimes with this undrafted free agent market. Teams are guaranteeing a lot of money to these players, so you can have extra seventh rounders. You can get this type of players, and it's a standard contract, drafted contract with 4 years on the deal. So I think it's important for the team and for the roster management to have those players available, and those picks available to get those players.
I think so too. And I have one more for you because I think this is an interesting one as well, as we're being joined by Wendell Fajeda. You can find him on social media at Wendell FP, A to Z Sports, covering the Packers every single day. You and I both had a similar idea. We're not talking even about trades maybe here at the 2025 deadline. We're talking about trades on the 2026 deadline. Last year, Malik Willis was such a huge trade at the deadline for Green Bay. They traded a 7th round pick for Malik Willis. Yesterday, we learned, or usually yesterday or day before, that Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback in Indianapolis. It has not exactly gone well in the Anthony Richardson era. I think you and I both had the same thought. Could Anthony Richardson next year be the same sort of situation that Malik Willis was last year? Green Bay could need a backup quarterback. And hey, having a big, physical, mobile quarterback as your backup that has some skills and that you can kind of create an offensive around worked for Malik Willis. I could easily see that working with Anthony Richardson if that were to come to pass as well.
Yeah, don't let Sean McVay do that for the Rams. Do that yourself. I think the Packers have a positive track record. And if you see the type of quarterback that Brian Gutekunst tends to like, Anthony Richardson fits that pretty well. He traded for DeShone Kizer. He scouted Drew Locke. He drafted Jordan Love. He traded for Malik Willis, all big-armed guys. So Anthony Richardson, I think, fits that mold too. The Packers and the Colts, this is fun because even though the Packers have had better results, the draft process is kind of similar between Gutekunst and Ballard. They all draft athletic guys, big guys, physical guys. And I think if the Colts tend to like a player, I keep an eye on that because I think it's possible that the Packers will like him too. And I was talking to Destin Adams, who covers the Colts for us. He told me that he doesn't think that the Colts will want to trade Richardson at this point. They want him to be the backup, maybe a developmental player still. But at the same time, I think Richardson himself will want to get traded at some point because he doesn't have a shot there. That's a reality. It's the second time he's been benched in, I think, 6-7 months. So the Colts will probably have to move on at some point. And I think for the Packers, it's perfect. Malik Willis is entering, as we've mentioned, the final year of his deal. And Richardson is under contract through 2026 and with a fifth-year option still. The Packers would probably not pick that up, but still, it's an option. And the Packers probably need that type of player. I've mentioned that Trey Lance is a guy that I would like to for the Packers. He's on a 1-year deal with the Chargers. That's the type of player that the Packers can develop. Matt LaFleur has the track record of doing that. So I think, yeah, the Packers would benefit a lot of maybe sending a day three pick to the Colts for Anthony Richardson. He's been bad. I know that. A lot of people have pushed back on that idea because he's been bad for the Colts. But guys, he's been better.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
The Colts, then Malik Willis was with the Titans. So I would bet on development and see how he can do. And it's a day three pick. If it doesn't work out, whatever, no, you move on. You move on and try another shot.
I'm right there with you. I think it would make all the sense in the world. We'll see if Goody can pull it off maybe in 2026. Don't expect it in 2025, but maybe next year could make a lot of sense. All right, Wendell, tell us all about your work at A to Z Sports and anything else you want to plug on the way out.
Oh, that's awesome. Today I wrote a piece about Michael Parsons and what a trade package could look like. And I think that's a big one for the Packers fans. They are all excited about that possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen, but if it's going to happen, it'll be expensive. So I tried to project based on history what that cost would look like. It's all there on A to Z Sports. And if you can follow me on Twitter also, it's Wendell FP. As always, Andy, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Likewise, appreciate you a ton. We had the same wavelength today. The podcast today over on Pack a Day was, what are the realistic possibilities for Hendrickson, even a Jadeveon Clowney or Micah Parsons, and how Green Bay could acquire those. So very much on the same lockstep. If you want to get that full coverage, go to A to Z Sports with Wendell, and then check out the podcast after as well. And you should be covered for all of your Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons trade needs with those two. Wendell, I cannot thank you enough. You enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll do this again very soon.
Appreciate you, my friend.
Right back at you. That is Wendell Fayetta. You can find him again on social media at Wendell FP. Huge thank you to him for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. This is the Pack a Day Radio Show. We got more for you right after this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.